All right. So my mission is to reawaken the public's view of law enforcement and the nobility of law enforcement.
Yeah.
I recruit for California Highway Patrol, and you can get that at chpcareers.com.
Nice.
More information's there, but I work with heroes every day.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, law enforcement gets a lot of bad press, but I want to put in perspective some of the things that people hear.
And so that was George Castle, and I'm Joe Lemon. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Really appreciate you guys consistently dropping past the show. And I want to get right to it today. I don't want to waste a lot of time. And most importantly, I want to bring you guys some value and some jewels. If you're considering podcasting, if you're playing with that notion and that idea, I want to do my best to kind of set you up on the right path so you guys can get off to a quick start and maximize this whole audio space that's really emerging. So anyway, I want to get into it today because I want to talk to this idea about changing the actual narrative. And there's a couple big themes here, right? Like George is the chief marketing and chief recruiter, I should say, over the marketing for the California Highway Patrol. And I gotta say, man, he has a big mission. He's up to some really great things. And I just like the fact that he's taking on this whole challenge of trying to change the public's perception about law enforcement. We all know it's needed. And you know, it's one of those things where like it's rooted in trying to change the actual story, I would say, as well as trying to find some shared values and some common themes that really can connect people. That's one of the biggest things that I would say is probably missing between that and his whole strategy for that, which I think we can all kind of gather something from and really try to think about how we can properly apply, is what's the long-term game or what's your long-term strategy, you know, that you want to see happen for your brand or just even your, you know, your online reputation or your reputation in the real world, right? Because they all cross over. And it's a process to me of finding this authentic voice. So you have to go through it by just going through the exercise of being consistent and, you know, understanding that change doesn't happen overnight, but you also got to have some urgency. And so you have to be in this process of testing out different things constantly and trying to see what really resonates, right? Because great leaders look at data. You don't walk around just guessing about it. You just got to be quick to move on whenever you get some feedback from people. So that could be through a LinkedIn post. That could be through an Instagram live that I've got going on right now or whatever, right? Whatever type of data that you can grab from the public to really understand what's resonating with them, I think is key. And I want to get right into the interview, so I don't want to waste too much time, but I want to give you guys a quick hack. So if you guys haven't recognized the past, I don't know, maybe five episodes, my interviews, I should say, the past five interviews have been all from this one conference that I was the podcast host for, Digital Marcon event here that was done a couple, almost a month and a half ago now, I guess. But it was a while back, but it allowed me to stockpile literally 12 plus interviews. So I have over a quarter's worth of interviews lined up, stockpile those out, drip them out on a weekly basis. Sometimes I'll drop two because, you know, I got extra content and things that I don't want to hold on to for too long. But this is a great strategy for anyone to use that's thinking about podcasting. You don't know what to talk about, do an interview show, talk to people that matter in your industry, talk to people that you're curious about, people that you find interesting, I should say, and put them on your podcast and let them do all the talking for you. So with that said, guys, I don't want to ramble on too much. I think George has a lot to say. So sit back and enjoy this episode with George Castle. We want to talk about how you can go about reframing and rebranding your public perception. Oh, and by the way, right before we get into it, please rate and subscribe to the actual Joe Lemon Experience podcast, the JLE Anchor Show. And of course, you listen to the Sales Culture Podcast. It really helps out. Means a ton for you guys to help me get found online.
You know, law enforcement,
let's get to it.
Gets a lot of bad press, but I want to put in perspective some of the things that people hear. Like, for instance, let's say a negative incident happens, right? They're going to hear that 100 times a day for the next 5 weeks. But if you look at it, one officer position, let's say they do 10 interfaces with the public a day, just for ease of math, probably a lot more than that.
But yeah, I'd imagine. 10. Yeah.
That position is working 365 days a year. There's about, in our case, let's say there's about 5,000 officers on the street, but let's just call it 3,000 because some of them have desk jobs and so forth and supervising. So that's one position, 10 interfaces a day, 365 days a year, 3,000 positions out there working. If there's one incident, and there isn't, annually, but let's just say there's one incident a year. Mm-hmm. That's one over 10,950,000 public interfaces a year. That is a 0.00097, a Six Sigma standard deviation, which in any company in America is the definition of perfection.
Yeah.
That's my agency.
Dude, that's, I'm so glad that you actually did the math on that though, man. Because, you know, one of the things I just talk about intuitively, I'm like, look, you know, especially when people get revved up about certain issues, I'm like, man, you know, the majority of people, if the majority of people were bad, if 10% of people were bad, you wouldn't be able to leave your house.
That's correct.
I mean, you would leave your house and it'd be a straight knife fight. You would get, you know, like one in 10, you know, you have a problem with.
Yeah.
That's not the case, man. I mean, you got your bad apples in every profession.
Sure.
Right? I mean, so it's those little guys that kind of leak into it and they take the spotlight and then amplify, right?
What I'd like to see more of is the cases, like I've got a video I'm putting out where I've got a Caltrans worker was working one day on the road, and the road was dicey. It was a lot of cars, so he didn't want to get out of his truck, and he had to go pick up this obstacle in the middle of the road. And he sees CHP in his rearview mirror coming up, blocking traffic, making sure that everything's going to be okay. So he gets out of his truck. He goes to pick it up, and out of the corner of his eye, he didn't see the car coming. Somebody broke the blockade. They came at 60 miles an hour right at him, and the CHP officer put his car in between them and took the hit.
Wow.
Saved his life. At his own personal risk. These are the people I work with every day.
Wow.
If you want to make a difference in this world, we got a job for you.
That's awesome, man. Dude, so you know what? Are you working on the branding for the actual?
More channeling. Our brand CHP? Is pretty solid. CHP is pretty much known worldwide. We're one of the top law enforcement agencies in the nation, certainly the world. So our brand is pretty solid, but I want to get the word out there. We've got a great career for people. We've got, you know, how that's why I'm here, is finding new ways to connect with people and get the word out that we've got, you know, you can come out of high school with a GED. Mm-hmm. We will train you. You got to get through you got to pass the tests.
Yep.
You got to get through backgrounds. You got to get through all the requirements, but we will send you an academy and pay you to go and make you an expert in your field.
Wow.
And you will start at about, you know, over 80K a year.
Really?
Plus full bennies and great retirement.
Really?
That's hard to beat.
I don't think people know that, though.
They don't.
Yeah. But I was about to say, because I got a lot of friends that debated whether they should get into law enforcement. They went military route. You know, after military, now what? You know? And they're kind of looking. And
we love military personnel. Sure. We love people who want to make a difference. That's the main thing. We get people from all walks of life, and we love all of them. You've got to make the requirements. I mean, you've got to have a clean record, and if you've got that and you have a heart to serve the public and make a difference every day, my people make a difference every day, whether they're helping somebody on the side of the road. I mean, that's one of the things we get that's an advantage, is we help people most of the time.
Yeah,
we're not taking down the bad guys all the time. You might be on the side of the freeway and you're like, oh, what am I going to do? And CHP pulls up and you know you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know he's going to make sure that somebody comes and gets you. You know you're going to be safe. He's making sure the lights are on. No one's going to hit you.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay. We do a lot of that. That's a lot of the job. We also have a lot more jobs. We've got equestrian. We've got canine. We've got SWAT. We've got air ops. We've got undercover. We've got all the different things that you can do. There's a lot of positions in CHP.
But you said there's less people applying, right?
Across the nation, there's a downtrend in applications for law enforcement careers. Yeah,
labor markets are tight. Period.
That's true.
I mean, and that's across all industries. But you're saying there's especially an actual dip when it comes to law enforcement.
Yeah.
What's some cool things that you guys are seeing, or maybe some tactics you guys are thinking about implementing to kind of help try to counteract some of that?
We found that what we'd really like to see is more people talk to officers. Because we found that about 80% of our people, once they talk to a CHP officer, they see the pride, they see the passion for what he does, they see our female officers, they see how awesome the job is, they see how happy they are doing it, and how rewarding it is, and they sign up. So we get more from just people talking to officers, and I would encourage everybody to smile and wave, you know?
Yeah.
Give them that smile and wave. They're out there risking their lives to make sure you're safe.
Yeah.
That's the job. Make sure you're safe. Sometimes you got to deal with people who are a risk, a danger, and sometimes you're just even protecting them. So it's a tough job.
I like that idea of what you're talking about, of people engaging with people. So you know, I didn't know we were going to go down this route, but I want to throw some at you because I think it's a free way for you to do it. podcasting. I mean, obviously, I'm podcasting.
I'm for it.
Really?
It's on my list of things that I got to get going.
Man, yeah. You know what? I'll share with you my little deck on how to get set up if you're interested.
I'm very interested.
But
yeah, thank you.
Because, like, for one of the things that happens over audio, it's a couple reasons I think this is special, and this could really fit for this conversation, is that audio is, there's something special that happens when you hear someone's tone of voice, right? I mean, video is great too, but audio allows you to consume it while you're on the move.
That
so
is
if you're
true.
If you're in the car, if you're bouncing around, like, you might not have time to sit down and watch me talk for 5 minutes or 40 minutes, you know, on like YouTube. But if you're in the car in traffic, LA traffic, you're going to sit for at least 20 minutes. I don't care if you're going around the block, you know, you got time for a 5 minute podcast, right? Yeah. And so that's the main one. It's media that moves with you. Two, it allows you to share authentic stories from internally, and that's the piece I think a lot of employers that are struggling to build or get the word out about how good their company culture is. I'm like, man, you got to let the people speak that are living it, and the people that have served with you guys are in it, you know, for the long haul, that really have bunkered down on that mission. And I know law enforcement has that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I know those guys that are like, because, man, I've had several run-ins, all positive. I'm a lucky dude, I feel like, but they're all been positive, phenomenal. And so I know the guys that could have, you said, hey, Joe, that was out of line, but they didn't, you know? And they gave me the little pat in the back, and, hey, man, clean up next for, like, tomorrow. I mean, they were all nice to me, man. And I know those are the guys that are in it for the long haul, and I'm just one of 100,000, I'm sure, happens to on a regular basis. And so the guys, those guys, man, if they're on the microphone, they could share their why they're into it, just the basic why of what they're up to and why they woke up to actually do what they love.
That's it.
Yeah.
I love supporting my crew because in my position, I get to wake up, go to work happy because I am supporting heroes that are out there making a difference every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so rewarding and so much fun that, I mean, if people took the time to get to know all of these officers, you'd find them amazing people. Their moms, their dads, their family members. Some have degrees, some don't. Some are interested in sports, some are interested in computers. It's just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And they connect, they love people, otherwise they wouldn't be doing this job. So they love to connect, they love to talk to people, they love that. And they're an amazing group.
Yeah, you know, I think it's one of those professions that you can't fake the funk on, man. Like, you can't get into this, like, and it's not a, you know, let me get a sales job and just cold call people, or it's not just a throw some newspapers out and hopefully catch, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just walk it without something drawing you there. I don't imagine, you know?
It is a, you know, first of all, there's a big upfront cost. You're going to be spending 6 months of your life in the academy.
Sure.
Which is not easy.
Yeah.
With no guarantee of completion.
Sure.
Right? Now, once you complete, we'll put you to work.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have a job. You're going to have a career. And one of the things that is awesome about CHP is we don't have an attrition problem. Our officers are so happy, they tend to stay the entire time. So unless they go out on a medical or retirement, they tend to stay at CHP. So once they're in, they enjoy the job.
Yeah, that's huge. Because, you know, on the flip end, a lot of the companies, what they're struggling with these days, I've read a stat that said, like, you know, almost like 10 years ago, the average employee would plan to work no more than 3.5 jobs their entire career. You know, I think it was 15 years ago, you know, the average employee, 3.5 jobs.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, and you're there, you know, you plan maybe a couple moves, 10 years at a time, you know.
Right.
Now, looking at 15 plus, because people are changing jobs every 2-3 years.
Now, here's the beauty of that.
Yeah.
So that's the social norm now, right?
Yeah.
So if you're at a police department, which they do a great job, love them to death.
Yep.
But you're now at a city. That's your job. That's where you go. Let's say you're working in LA at CHP and you work it a couple of years and you decide, you know, I want to change the scenery. You transfer. Pick an area of the state. You can go anywhere in California, which has just about every scape you want to be. You want to be near the ocean? We got it. You want to be in the mountains? We got it. You want to be up near hunting and fishing? We got it. You want to stay in LA? We got it. You want to be down in San Diego? We got it. You can move around. The scenery changes. There's opportunities for growth. We're a huge agency relative to law enforcement, so there's always opportunities to promote.
Yeah.
Your career is your own. It's what you do. We love our road dogs, too. We got guys out there that just love the road.
Really?
They love it. They
love traveling around.
Yeah, they're helping people every day.
Yeah.
They're doing their own thing. They're not, you know, there's nobody looking over your shoulder. You're an expert. You're expected to act like a professional. they do a great job.
That's awesome.
And we get feedback from the public too, that it's like, no, you're the good guys. Yes, we are. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Nah, man, George, I think that's really cool though, man. So how many employees do you guys have then?
And a total civilian and officer, about 11,000.
Wow, man, that's huge.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that big of an org, man.
Yeah, it's a big organization.
Wow. So how big is your team then? How big of is your group that works at trying to bring in?
So that's a good question, because at headquarters, my team is about 5 people.
Okay.
In recruiting.
It's a lot of work through them, 5 people.
Yeah, and we're hiring for that too, because we're down a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got, you know, our recruitment unit, the cadet hiring unit, which has about 10 people in it, and we've got people. Then every division has its own recruiters,
yeah,
and their own background investigators and things like that. So there's like 30 in this group, gotcha, and 40 in that group. So throughout the state, there's quite a few.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes more sense. Okay, but still, you know, I mean, I think that's still a pretty tall order for your team in particular to kind of crush that.
Yeah,
type of number, man.
To bring in the 15,000 people plus that apply every year.
Yeah,
and we'd love to hire all of them, but not everybody qualifies.
Of course.
You know? But we'd like to see more people. Like, we have programs in place, by the way. Our applicant preparation program is run by our officers, volunteer program, where they train people how to get in shape for the test, what will happen at the academy, how to get good at it before they show up, so it's not a big culture shock.
Talk about that a little bit more, because I was a personal trainer for way back when, for like almost about 5-7 years or so. And there used to be a couple people used to come through and like, hey, I need to get ready for the academy.
Yes.
And so like, what's that program about?
So we have officers that were oftentimes PT officers at the academy. So they know what's going on. And we have PT officers come and train with them to make sure they're up to date on all the fitness exercises that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then these guys run workouts a couple times a week. So the potential cadets get ready physically, mentally, get their knowledge base up, get their skill sets up, so they are got a heads up. They got a leg up on the academy when they come in. They typically do very, very well.
Gimlet's out of New York, Wondery's out of LA, but they make these storytelling type podcasts. But you know how cool it would be to have like coming into the academy type of series, like a 12-part series of people that started in, and they track the progress, and they kind of talk about their actual, you know,
that's
graduating.
A great idea. Yeah.
I mean, just think about this that whole conversation, because you know, I think people, like, I didn't know that there were programs out there already in place for people that were interested in coming in. But
if they're too young, we even have a program, the Explorer program, which helps people like in high school get ready. They're too young to join the academy, but it's a program where they compete, they learn the same kinds of things, they're training, they're getting ready to get ready for the academy. So we keep them in the fold as long as we can.
Is there like an age cutoff limit? Is there like a time when you're like, hey,
you have to be 21 to go into the academy.
Okay.
Typically you got to be 18 to be an Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right that time between high school and where you're going next, that's the time we want them to get into the program, get ready, get geared up. We've got great military programs too, so if you're out in the military, you can still apply, and we'll help you out.
Nice. Is like an age cutoff as far as you could be too old?
Yes. You have to be below 35 before you enter the academy.
Makes sense. Okay.
Because of retirement.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Well, I mean, still, that's still a nice window to kind of work with.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got about a good 16, 17 years there.
Yeah, and we've got great people that come from all different trades and retail and healthcare, variety of people. And a lot of them bring that experience to the job. Some of them are EMTs. They come over to the CHP. Well, that's awesome. Now we've got an EMT rolling on the streets. We are first responders, and they're phenomenal at it.
Man, you know, so where do you guys see, like, the biggest pool of your people applying from? Is there a certain sector or like a vertical where you're like, man,
we get quite a few from military.
Yep.
We get quite a few from the trades.
Okay.
Construction, plumbing, things like that.
Yep.
We get quite a few from retail. Those are our biggies. You know, a few here and there from healthcare, a few from IT. And then a lot of them coming out of college. You know, you got a college degree. What am I going to do with it? You know?
You know, it's kind of funny with college too, man, because college is becoming an issue these days for a lot of people. Like, you know, I've listened to some guys and I realized, I think, and don't hold me to this, but I think USC is like $60,000 per year now.
Probably right.
Yeah. And you know, and obviously that's on an extreme because they're a private school, but you know, but even the state funded schools are still up there in that, you know, 15, 20 a year range. So you're walking out, you know, $80,000, you know, in debt. throw some interest on that, you know? Yeah. And a lot of places, they're not paying you out the gate $80K to make that.
That's correct.
You know, yeah. Like, you know, entry level for most guys in sales and marketing, you might get in there at 40s, you know, 50, 60.
Maybe, yeah.
And if you're great, maybe make some commission on the end. But outside of that, it's not a super bright future for a lot of guys when they're leaving with an English degree or some other degrees. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I would imagine some of those people might be kind of curious about what you guys have going on as well.
Yeah, we get a lot of people from the colleges because, you know, they literally, you get your degree and then you go out into the workforce and you're like, I'm going to be, and then all of a sudden you run into those roadblocks not. And then,
like, I'm not going to leave making $300,000. Yeah.
And they want, some of them just want a better life for their family, and that's great.
Which is phenomenal.
Come see us, you know, if you qualify, and we put you through, and we'd love to have you.
Well, you know what, so I'm really curious, and I'm about to let you go here, but are there any tactics that you're seeing that's working to help kind of bring on new people? Like, are you guys doing advertisements on Indeed or any other platforms that you're just like, oh, this is really working out really pretty
well? We are, but again, ideally we want somebody to talk to an officer.
Yeah.
Because really, when you hear the passion in their voice, like you hear the passion in mine about my agency, you walk away going, I want that too. I want to be that alive every day. And when you got that, that's all you need to, when people connect with that, that's like, okay, me too. And it's not for everybody.
100%.
You know, it's not for everybody, and that's fine. But if it's something that you connect with, you want to make a difference every day, you want to have an opportunity to grow, you want to work with some fantastic people, then we got a job for you. CHPcareers.com.
Well, I mean, George, you know what? I want you to plug the websites for sure. Plug, if you don't mind, ways that people can reach out to you, because I love your actual mission for this, man. I think that your passion has inspired me, really. I mean, you came over and first time I was talking, you know, total strangers here. But just the fact that, you know, you're helping hire heroes and helping heroes work with other heroes, man. I mean, come on, man.
Who
doesn't
want to
be
that?
Part of that,
yeah,
man?
Who gets to do that? Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to put the Avengers over my door.
Yeah, you got the Hulk, man. You know?
I got them all.
Yeah, you got them all.
No, one of the lieutenants I work with was a 49er. He was a center for the 49ers.
Oh, he's probably a big dude then.
He held the record for squats at 1,000 pounds for like 10 years.
Oh, man, he was doing 1,000-pound squats?
1,000-pound squats.
You know what's funny, man? I used to do powerlifting, man, and I got to that moment, right? And I had a good pull, a good deadlift. But there was that moment when you realized, like, there's a whole different level of strength. And I'm like, I'm not going to touch that. You know, like, I feel like I'm strong, but I'm not that strong. You know, like, there's different levels to that.
But that, like I said, they're my heroes, every single one of them.
That's phenomenal, man. So, all right, please tell everybody how to find you and any websites that you think are relevant.
CHPcareers.com will give you a ton of information. It gives you the requirements, the minimum requirements. It allows you to answer questions and gives you contact information where you can call in, given your division, wherever you're in California, a local number where you can call and talk to officers, and they're standing by. We'd love to talk to you.
That's awesome, man. So because literally the best advice is literally reaching out, speaking to someone. If you're interested, have them answer your questions, build a relationship with an actual officer, right?
I mean, they love it. They, you know, our recruiters love to talk to people. They love to tell you about what it's like. They can answer questions for you. They can get you ready. And then if you're geared up, you'll come work out with them, join the AP program, get rolling on that, and you'll be geared up for the academy. And then it's 6 months of hard work, and then you're out. You will have somebody you ride with for a while until we're sure you're good to go, and then you're out, you're working.
Man, you know, I want to leave on this, you know, because I feel like people that are the elites and the real heroes out there, they look forward to the hard work, and they look forward to doing the hard work the very next day.
Yep.
Like they aren't looking to kind of go home and hang on the couch and I'm going to bust my butt for on Monday, then, you know, Thursday through like Saturday, I'll just hang out. Like, the guys that really get it know that this life is about doing meaningful things, and that takes a little bit of sweat, man.
It does. Yeah. It's worth it, though. At the end of it, you will never have a more pride-filled day than when you get your badge pinned on.
Dude, I love that, man. George, thank you so much for dropping past the podcast, man.
Joe, I really appreciate it, man. I want to talk to you, too, about learning more about podcasting. This is fantastic.
We're going
to
dive into it, man.
Awesome. And like that, everyone, it's a wrap. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the podcast. As always, please subscribe and let George know if you're interested in his mission. I will have his contact details and a link to his LinkedIn page below. Until next time, you guys be phenomenal.
Struggling to connect with buyers in an overcrowded, noisy sales landscape? Today's buyers want more than a spray and pray email blast. Launch a podcast and collaborate on content with people that matter most in your industry. Learn more at salesculture.work.